couple of days ago, we were looking at the book of 1 Timothy. And this is, again, Paul, as he's writing in the first book to Timothy. He's writing to Timothy as a leader of the church. And he's giving Timothy instructions on how to be that church leader. And he's also giving Timothy instructions on what to teach and how to teach. And what the attitude should be that he's instilling into those who are followers of Jesus Christ. So Timothy, as the leader, needs to share with those who are underneath him. Teach them, show them, demonstrate to them, and encourage them to have the attitudes and the thoughts that Paul is expressing here. And I'm just going to read through the first eight verses. We looked at verses 1 and 2 the other day. It says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the older women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children and nephews, let them first show piety at home, and to requite to their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications, prayers, night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those in his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." So these are the words that Paul is sharing with Timothy. We looked at those first couple of verses, and I'm going to read those from the Amplified Bible. It says, "Do not sharply censure or rebuke an older man, but entreat and plead with him as you would a father. Treat younger men like brothers." Verse number 2 says, "Treat older women like mothers and younger women like sisters in all purity." So what's being taught to Timothy, and really what's being taught to you and I in the body of Christ, is this is the attitude that we should have to those around us. This is the attitude that the body is supposed to have for others, for other believers. And I love these first two verses because, especially when it's looking at older men, it says, "Don't sharply censure or rebuke them." There's a respect level that Paul is saying to Timothy that the body of Christ needs to have. And this is, Timothy, what you need to teach those who are under you. You need to respect those who are elder. You need to respect those who have maturity. Maturity in years as well as maturity in the faith. And so even when, and this is not an attitude that we have in this country, but even when someone who is an older person, if they err or make a mistake, rather than rebuking them, there should be a gentleness. There's a respect and there's an honor that's there. There still is the correction, but it's with gentleness. And he says about the younger ones, entreat younger men like brothers. And we'll focus on that in just a second. Then in verse number 2, Treat older women like mothers and younger women like sisters in all purity. Again, this is the example of how we're supposed to treat each other. There's supposed to be honor that's given. We talked about this just the other day. You know, in the same way that the Bible's very clear. You look in the Old Testament, the standard that God sets for how we should treat our mothers and fathers, the respect and the honor that we should give to our mothers and fathers, there's a blessing that comes with it, but there's also, if we don't honor mothers and fathers, well, there was consequences, and rather severe consequences in the Old Testament. Again, these are not the standards that we have today. You can go through most homes, and you will not see what, especially just in our culture, outside of the body of Christ, there is virtually no respect, not the respect that's given, not the respect that the Bible talks about, given to mothers and fathers. But it's that kind of respect, and this is what Paul is saying to Peter, that same kind of respect that you have been taught through the Word of God, that you know you're supposed to give to your mother and father, that same kind of honor and that same kind of respect, you need to give that same kind of honor and respect to those who are elders. This is the heart. You know, everything comes back to, it can all be summed up, all these things that we're seeing that Paul is teaching Timothy, all these things can be summed up from Philippians 2:3, which says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things consider others better than yourselves." It's a difference of attitude. And we in our culture, and sometimes even in the body of Christ, we have a different attitude. We have an attitude that's contrary. It's contradictory to what the Word says. We consider self first, and we're taught to consider self first. What Paul's teaching Timothy to teach the church, what's being taught to us today, is this is the attitude that we should have towards the elders. For the most part, those who are older than us, those are that what we would call the senior generation, for the most part, we just put them aside and give them no credence. You know, for the most part, there's very little respect. In fact, there's a great lack of respect for those who are seniors. This is contrary to what Paul was saying to Timothy, teach the church. We should honor and respect those who are elders, regardless of whether they're your mother or father. You should still treat them with the same respect. And then he talks about the younger men and the younger women, and he's saying, and I love the way it sums it up with the younger women like sisters, in all purity. He's saying that when you are with people that are younger than you, just your peers of any kind, but those who are certainly younger than you, you need to treat them as you would your brother or sister. You know, there's certain things that if you come against my brother or you come against my sister, there is a familiarity, there's a bond that is there. Now, I might look at my brother and I might, you know, I might point out the faults of my brother or my sister, or they might point out mine. And there's a certain liberty to do that because we're brothers and sisters. But don't you do it. You know, this is my brother or my sister, don't you come against them. There's that familiarity, there's that bond that comes. There's that protection. There's that love, that inherent love that comes from that bond of being family. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. You need to teach the church that this is the kind of love and this is the kind of protection and this is the kind of attitude that you should have towards the younger. If you see someone that's not your family and you treat them like family, you're honoring God. If you treat them in a different way, and I love the way it says in purity, treat younger women like your sisters in purity. This is saying that the attitude that you need to have, that I need to have towards others, towards those who are like my peers, you know, around my age or even younger than my age, I should be taking care of them. What our culture teaches us, unfortunately, our culture teaches us to prey upon. And that might be a harsh term, but in a lot of ways we do prey upon people because we use them for our own good. We use them for our own advancement. We use them. You wouldn't do that to your brother or sister. There's ways that you treat people in your life, on the periphery of your life. You treat them differently than you would your brother or your sister. You know, this is saying when you look at women that are younger than you, this is what it's saying. Treat them with purity. There's a lot of times that our culture teaches, you know, there's a lot of, I've heard people say, well, you know, flirting with people is not that big of a deal. You know, it's innocent. You wouldn't flirt with your sister, would you? No, there's a sense of purity that you would have with your sister. What's being taught here by Paul, and he's saying to Timothy, this is what you need to teach the church. There needs to be that kind of purity in all of the thoughts, in all of the dealings, in all the actions that you have with younger women. Anything else is contrary to what the Word of God says. So these are some of the attitudes. But then it goes on, and these next number of verses, I think, are so telling to us. Because it does establish for us how we are supposed to treat, as the body of Christ, how we're supposed to treat each other. And these are the standards that Paul is setting. In verse number 3, it says, always treat with great consideration and give aid to those who are truly widowed, solitary and without support. When you go back and you look at the word widow, certainly we understand widow as a woman whose husband has passed away. But this word is more inclusive than that. It's not just women whose husband has passed away, but it's also a woman who, and even if the man left them, if they are solitary, if they're left alone, what Paul is saying is you need to reach out and minister. Now, as we go through these verses, you're going to see there's two ways that Paul's saying that we should minister to those who are widows. And there's different ways we should, you know, a lot of it determines, well, let's just say this, the two ways he's talking about, you should always take care of those who have need. But he's also talking about the church responsibility. And he's saying that for some widows, for those who are widows and those who are of the faith, the church needs to step up and take care of them. There's a church responsibility. There's a responsibility of the body of Christ collectively, as a church, to support them. Now, this is contrary to what we do things in our world. In our world, we've actually, as the body of Christ, we've abdicated this responsibility and given it over to the government. So he's saying there's two ways we should take care of the widows. For those who are seeking after God, for those who are living for God, then the church should take responsibility for them. Now, for those who are not living for God, there's still a responsibility that you have to take care of them. But the church is not responsible. In other words, it's not coming from the church's funds. But as individuals, we still need to see those who are in need and take care of them. So there's two different standards that we have. But it's always to take care of those who cannot take care of themselves. This is still the attitude that Paul is saying, Timothy, teach the church. This is the attitude they need to have. So verse number 3 says, always treat with great consideration and give aid to those who are truly widowed and without support. So when we see someone that is without support, our heart should be to give to them. Now this is contrary to the way we do things in the world, in the United States, and even in the church in the United States. And again, it gets back to the fact that we've abdicated our responsibility. God has said that it's our responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to see those who are in need and to help them meet the need. Paul's even going so far as to say that if you see someone that is in a need, if you see someone that is a widow and cannot support herself, and she is one who is giving herself to God, she's honoring God, she's spending time trusting, she's relying upon God, if that's the spiritual state of that individual, then not just should we meet the need, but now the church has responsibility to take them in and to cover them. The church has the actual responsibility to provide for them. The church hasn't done that in a long time. Why? Because the government has stepped in, and as a church, generations ago, we allowed the government to step in and to take that. Now, here's the difference. The difference is when the government is giving aid to widows, or we're looking at widows, but really this is speaking about the heart that we should have towards those that face needs. But when the government steps in, and the government provides the aid, the government provides the means of support for the widows or for those that have need, there is no love that's behind that support. The government doesn't love the individual. The government could care less about their spiritual well-being. The government doesn't even know who they are. It's just another name on, another one of the computer printouts that says this is someone that has filed the proper paperwork and meets all the criteria, so send a check for this much money. This is how much they get. There's no love behind it. This is why God wanted us as the church to be the ones to take responsibility for this. Because when we look at someone, we see them, we see they have a need. There should be a Christ-like love that is for them to reach out and to help them. And if it is someone that is trusting on, relying upon God, whose heart is for God, then as a church, then we should take them in and really serve the same way that the government does now and meet their needs. And even if they're not, we should still make provisions for them. Although it's not the church's as a corporate entity, it's not their responsibility to do, but still it's our responsibility as individuals to meet the needs. This is the standard, and this is the viewpoint, this is the standard that God is setting through Paul and teaching it to Timothy to teach the church to live this way, and this is not the way that the church operates, because we've abdicated. Here's another thing. The Bible is very clear on how we give money and what our intention and our heart should be when we give. The expectation is that we will give to the advancement of his kingdom, that we will give back to him, that we will tithe. But when we tithe, we willfully give it. We choose to give it. God doesn't take it from us. He's not coming into your bank account and saying, oh, you know what, Todd? You didn't give your tithes this month, so since you didn't do it, I'm just going to take it out of your bank account. There, I've taken 10%. No, it's up to me. It's what I'm supposed to do, but I still have to do it. God's not going to take it from me. He wants me to give it. He wants me to willfully give it. Now, again, look at how we've perverted things. Because when the government meets the needs of the widows or those who have needs, when the government is responsible for meeting those needs, the government has no love for them. You and I are supposed to have love and compassion and empathy for them. The government has no love for them. And beyond that, where does the government get the money to do that? The government's getting the money from you and I. It's getting it from everybody. But you're not giving it to the government to give to them. The government is taking it from you and then giving it to the other individual. You didn't give it. It was taken from you. Again, this is the difference between how God operates and how the world operates. God wants you to give. Because he wants you to have that heart of compassion, because it's what his heart is. But he also wants you to give so he knows he can trust you. And that you know, of more importance, you know that you can trust God with your finances. And he wants you to give because he wants you to see the needs of individuals, like the widow. He wants you to see their needs, and he wants you to have the compassion that he has. And he wants you to give. So that's a testimony of his love. And when you give out of love, guess what? A gift given out of love is going to have an impact beyond just meeting the needs. It's going to draw them to Jesus Christ. Now, if there's a widow that is not trusting on and relying upon God, and you give a gift and you give it out of love, and you give it out of the love of Christ, they're not just getting that gift, they're also getting the love of Christ. And I guarantee you that's going to win their hearts. And the purpose is to win them so that they do come to trust in and rely upon God, to rely upon Jesus Christ. They're not going to get that from the government. Part of the reason our country is in the place that it is because we do virtually nothing according to what the Bible says. And even as a church, and I'm not saying it's your fault, I'm not saying it's my fault, but we need to be aware of it so we can do whatever the Holy Spirit would have us to do to propagate changes. But generations ago, the church itself abdicated their responsibilities. Abdicated their responsibilities that Paul is pointing out right here. And we yielded those to the government. And as soon as that happened, as soon as that happens, you're walking outside of what God had instructed. And so all the things that he purposed and intended, all those things are lost because the government doesn't operate out of love. They take, and they don't operate out of love. God wants us to give with that heart of joy and to give that gift in love because that's what changes lives. There's a lot more we can look at with that, and maybe we'll look at that some more on Monday. But that's 1 Timothy chapter 5, and those are the instructions that Paul is giving to Timothy. Instructions on how and what to teach the body. So these are instructions for you and I still today. You can look around and see that as a body, we're not heeding those instructions. How can you and I change that? Well, the first thing is, if we have our heart seeking after God, looking towards Him, and with individually, each of us individually, desiring, God, I desire. What I just read from Paul and the instructions you gave him, I desire that that would be our country and our nation. Show me how to bring that about, but that's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing in faith, that we get a nation turned around where the church itself is being and is allowed to be and can fully become through you, Jesus, can fully become what you intended us to be.